When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
It's time for Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Sports Network with your host, Joe Miller. What is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Rapid Fire Friday episode on the Overreaction Sports Network. I am the voice, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. I'm the host of this year's show. I'm actually the host of every show right now on the Overreaction Sports Network. So good to have you. Do me a favor. Make sure if you are tuned in that you like and subscribe to this podcast channel on whatever platform you are consuming it. Simply put, you are going to get me and only me from here on out for the foreseeable future. So if you're looking for just some shorts, some more content from me, this is where you want to get it from. Like we always like to say, if this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, or on your way to work, welcome. It is so good to have you again. Appreciate you joining me for this new podcast venture. Real quick, just to kind of explain it, most of you know me from Buffalo Rumblings, and just to set aside any concerns, I have not left, nor am I leaving Buffalo Rumblings. This is just an opportunity for me to kind of spread my wings a little bit, to extend my tent stakes, if you will, doing three shows a week, a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday show. Monday is Mafia Monday. It's all about you guys, the Mafia, and how you're feeling after the game over the weekend. Wake Up Wednesday is going to be kind of an around the NFL, just a betting looking at next week, player parlay type stuff, and then just some simple short news midweek for the Buffalo Bills, and then Rapid Fire Friday. And this is the first episode ever of Rapid Fire Friday. I'm going to bring a guest on, because I very much enjoy interviewing folks, and I never really get the opportunity to do that on the Overreaction post-game show because we're talking about the Bills game. So, but this is the very first episode, and my guest today, I'm super excited. This man needs no introduction, host of the number one Buffalo Bills podcast, one of my very good friends, a fellow girl dad, and hopefully someday my next-door neighbor. First listen every day, ladies and gentlemen, Bills Mafia from Locked On Bills and the Draft Network. It's the Joe Marino. Joe, how are you?
Joe Miller, I'm doing well, and you got to stop teasing me about being my neighbor, man. I'm excited. I'd be nice to have some more friends here in the Charlotte area if that actually does come to fruition one day.
Count on it. I don't have the date. I don't know when.
Keep saying that, man. Yeah. You keep saying that.
Much like some Bills injuries that are out there right now, it's indefinite. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen at some point in time. I will be making my way down south to where the palm trees live, which I don't know how many palm trees are in Charlotte, but there's palm trees down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the palm trees are in the South Carolina, right? Which right. I think is kind of the apple of your eye. But yes. So we're not far from them. And that's kind of the great place. Part about living in Charlotte is you're an hour and a half from being in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and you're, you know, 2.5 hours away from being at the beach.
Right.
And so I really enjoy living in Charlotte, but I love Buffalo too. I love visiting. I love being part of that community. And it's a special place. So
absolutely. It's going to be hard to leave and easy to leave at the same time. Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things, but it's been great being back for a couple of years since 2018, especially with the Bills doing better. I don't have to drive 5 hours every weekend to see the Bills play, which is amazing. But it's at some point in time, my wife wants to, it's more my wife that wants to live where the palm trees live than it is me. My girls love the beach, and there's just aspects to where you want to go. I don't really want to go to Florida, live there before. It's too freaking hot. But yeah, so somewhere around Joe Marino is where I want to live. And you are a bonus.
Well, it'll be fun, man. Play some golf, talk some bills, you know, maybe I'll dust off my guitar. You know what I mean?
Now we're talking. The Joes. We'll start a band called the Joes.
Man. As long as I don't have to sing, we'll be fine, man.
I got that covered. I got that covered. The Buffalo Joes.
I can offer you no harmonies as well. So just make sure your expectations are in the right place on that.
That's amazing. The Buffalo Joes. Well, thank you for being a part of the show. The very first ever Rapid Fire Friday. And I would venture to guess there's a little of not trepidation or concern as much as there possibly could be. Generally, just so everybody knows, when you have a guest on a show like this, you provide them the questions in advance. And this is one of those things where I didn't want to. I wanted kind of some candid answers. We're going to talk about the Bills a little bit as we go forward. We're going to talk about, you know, not the Bills. We're going to talk about maybe some life stuff here and there, but nothing super, super major. We're just going to have a nice, friendly, fun time. But it's 10 quick questions. So 10 questions with Joe Marino on Rapid Fire Friday. You ready?
I'm ready.
First question. What in the hell are the Colts doing firing Frank Reich and hiring former Colts center Jeff Saturday as their next head coach? This has got to be a joke.
You know, I've reacted to a lot of news in my time kind of covering the NFL. And this is one where just kind of the jaw dropped and I didn't have a whole lot to say, man. It's really, really, really crazy to me. Things changed quickly there. Frank Reich had a decent run to kind of start off his tenure. I don't even think he had a losing season, right? They lose that game in Jacksonville at the end of 2021, and then obviously the slow start this year. But man, the guys had five different starting quarterbacks in week one in 5 years.
Right.
What are we doing here? Our fingers are pointed at the wrong guy. The guy that deserves the blame here is Chris Ballard, their general manager, who has completely failed this football team by not being able to find a quarterback, by not being able to find a left tackle, by not being able to find any receivers. Like, congrats on the good defense and running the football. It takes more than that to win in today's NFL. So why are we not pointing our fingers at Chris Ballard? Jim Irsay, what a clown that guy looked like during the press. That was embarrassing. I mean, we talk about that Doug Whaley interview, right? Yeah. Where I'm not privy. That's the owner, right? That's the owner of the team getting there talking about his 52 years of experience and how he's got everything figured out. He's never hired a losing coach. Brother. I was floored listening to that. So, man. And then just going with Jeff Saturday. What a smack in the face to everything that exists within becoming an NFL head coach. I'm sure Jeff Saturday is a great man and a great leader, but damn it, he didn't deserve this opportunity.
I was surprised, he said.
Yeah, like, he's like, why am I a candidate?
Did it come in a message? Did he like blink Jim Irsay? So he like picks up his phone. Oh, what's Jim want? Hey, do you want to be the next head coach? I mean, it's almost like the replacements moment where like the owner goes to, I forget the character's names because this is totally just off the cuff, but like, hey, I want you to coach the team. And he's like, in that situation in the replacements, they'd already gone down the road. He'd already fired him once. And he's like, you've already fired me. Why would you call me again? But there's only 32 of these guys in the NFL. Yeah. 32 of these supreme leaders of billion-dollar organizations. There, as much as the general manager is kind of the boss, the head coach is very much in control. And to go get a guy that has no coaching experience, okay, he coached in high school. He coached a high school team for 1 year. That's his – what the hell?
I'd take the job if I were him, though. I don't blame Jeff Saturday one bit. Yep. And at least he's like a consultant for the team. Like, I think he has some level of a pulse for what's going on there.
Right.
But like, I feel bad for him, to be honest with you, because I mean, if Terry Pegula called me up and asked me to be the head coach of the Bills, I'd take it, Joe.
I would not. I would be I'm
taking the job. I'm taking the job for sure. And listen, I know I'm not qualified by any means, but I would live with whatever backlash it was because I want to be an NFL head coach. Sure. Sign me up. I'll do my best. Right.
I would talk my way out of that. I'd be like, if you need a leadership consultant, cause I've read all the books that McDermott has read and Bean have read, like I've done all that stuff. If you need a leadership consultant and a guy that maybe to develop players as far as mentally and from a maturity standpoint, let's do that. But like, I am not your, like, I just don't see this ending well.
Well, I think that's maybe the exciting part is there could not be any expectations for him, right? Like there's none. Like you're playing with house money. Like go try to put 8 weeks together and see what happens. But what an unprecedented moment in the history of the NFL.
It's a like little
in the year 2022. This happens.
The year of our Lord, 2022.
Unbelievable.
All right. So kind of in that same Colts vein, the Buffalo Bills obviously made a trade for Nyheim Hines, literally at the trade deadline buzzer. What do you think, just from a Hines standpoint, is, you know, the Bills have him for, I think it's 3 years. He's got 3 years on his contract. It's a hefty contract. He's like is it the 15th or the 20th highest paid running back in the NFL? You know that number?
I don't know that number, but the good news for that deal is that the Bills aren't on the hook for any guaranteed money beyond this year. So they have a really nice opportunity to rework that deal or just cut ties. Like, hey, if you're not our guy long term, right, like we don't want to commit this to you, we could just let you go and there's no dead cap accumulation.
Well, what we're not going to talk about is that's another one of those, what is going on here signing that guy when you've got Jonathan Taylor to the contract that they did. But long term plan as far as just the future for Hines in this offense, what are your feelings there?
I'm intrigued. It's very clear that Brandon Bean's been trying to acquire this type of player, and it goes deeper than even we thought, right? We knew about the J.D. McKissic failed signing, mm-hmm. and then the pivot to drafting James Cook in the second round, and you know the similarities in those types of skill sets, the pass catcher, the speed out of the backfield, and then you hear from Brandon Bean coming out and him saying, well, look, yeah, I've checked in on Nyheim a few different times. Mm-hmm. And so you know that he's wanted this type of pass catching specialist, speed dynamic from the backfield. And, you know, since Nyheim Hines has been in the NFL, he's got the fifth most receiving yards of any running back in the NFL. And obviously a really nice resume as a punt returner. So it fills two big roles for the Bills. I think he's wired the right way. DNA type guy, culture guy, process guy through and through. So you love the skill set and you love the person that you've added to your building. I think it just becomes a matter of, all right, well, what type of financial commitment makes sense for both parties moving forward, right? Right. He's here for this year, but beyond that, I think they have to come to an understanding of the valuation of the player moving forward. And I think he could be a nice X factor for this football team. He's not a do everything back. I mean, he's not that. Mm-hmm. And if he winds up being a featured part of your offense, you need to find more of a downhill player, especially if this means Devin Singletary is not back next year. Right. So they have some work to do, but I think he can be a really nice piece of this offense.
Very good. How much are the Buffalo Bills missing Cole Beasley's role in this offense? And I don't mean for all the people that are going to freak out, ask me that question. I don't mean Cole Beasley, the person. I mean Cole Beasley, the player. So none of us at this point are really pining to have Cole Beasley, the person, back in this franchise. How much is this offense missing Cole Beasley, the player, right? That role.
Yeah, I think it's pretty significant as we watch this offense progress this year and the weapons not named Stephon Diggs kind of struggling to be consistent with their ability to contribute. And the one thing you knew about Cole Beasley is that, you know, he was going to get open. He was going to be available. He was going to find those spots and zones. And he was always the guy that kept Josh on schedule. You know what I mean? Like third and Beasley, right? We knew it.
Yep.
And I thought that was important for the offense and obviously important for Josh Allen. And as the season has went along, him not having that type of player, I think has contributed to some of what we've seen over the last six quarters. Maybe a lack of just kind of taking profits with the consistency that we saw him take earlier this season to kind of set up the downfield opportunities. And, you know, I think not having that player not only takes away a key dynamic of the offense and something that's been important for Josh Allen, but it hurts a guy like Gabriel Davis. It hurts a guy like Isaiah McKenzie. It hurts a guy like Dawson Knox, because now they become more prominent pieces of the offense and are relied upon to do some of that, where they are more, I wouldn't say Knox as much, but McKenzie and Davis are more niche players,
right,
that don't necessarily deserve the volume, right? Like they're not do everything guys, but when you use them how they thrive, they can really help you. And so I think there's been a negative impact across the team offensively because you don't have that type of player.
Right.
Not necessarily Cole Beasley. I think I find myself relieved that I don't have to deal with Cole Beasley anymore. You know what I mean? Like, right, it's been a nice benefit of him not being there, but the consequence has been that missing element to the offense.
Yeah, that guy that can effectively be open. So we're living in the JP Lossman. Oh, they're playing the cover two. We can't do anything. Like they played a cover two. We can't do anything. Having that guy that can find that open space underneath to make those guys come forward, right? And somebody for them to worry about. That's missing. So I guess the question for me is, do you see OBJ? And I'm a guy that from up until about last week, I was not on the OBJ train. I was very much if they get him, great, as long as the contract fits.
Yeah,
I don't feel like I need OBJ in this offense. And now I'm very much convinced I need something else in this offense. So do you see OBJ maybe being capable of taking the pressure off of, as you were talking about, the other receivers, Dawson Knox, Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakir, enough to get them to be schemed open again, I guess is the way that I would ask that question.
What's appealing about OBJ is that he's obviously the most clear path right now to finding that answer, right? So he looks very attractive, I think, to a lot of people, including myself, to come in and be that, or certainly capable of being that do everything player that they kind of need opposite of Diggs. Right. I think that also comes with a dose of reality that we have to be willing to take. Mm. Odell Beckham Jr. had a torn ACL in February. Mm-hmm. And so that's a concern, a big concern, but also this guy has never taken a rep with your quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's never been in your building. He's never been in your scheme. And we're talking about December, right? So yeah, it could be really great, but I think there's a dose of reality. There's a tempering of expectations that considers those variables that aren't not important, right? Those are big deals,
right,
that we need to be mindful of as we consider this possibility. Again, there's a clear path there. It could be the answer. And for those reasons, I'm interested. But also, the other stuff I talked about matters too.
There's always there's always baggage that comes with any situation. If the season ended today, are you re-signing Tremaine Edmonds?
Yeah, I'm in on Tremaine Edmonds. I am. I mean, dollars matter, mm-hmm. So without that piece of the conversation, it makes it really easy to say yes. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds is going to be an $18 or $19 or $20 million a year linebacker, I'm probably not in there. But if this winds up being the classic, Brandon Bean extension where it's really team friendly and it just makes sense and it's a good valuation.
The Milano deal. The Milano.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. If you give me the Milano deal, I'm signing that yesterday.
Well, he's making a million more than Milano.
Yeah,
this year.
Give me that, right? That's where I can get on board with it. I think where you can appreciate Tremaine Edmonds is when you stop trying to put him in this Darius Leonard, Fred Warner, Avante David category of linebacker.
Right,
soon as you can do that and recognize what he does do, the leadership, all the things that make Tremaine a valuable player to this team, that's where you can appreciate what he offers. But I mean, if you're going to make him the highest paid linebacker in the NFL, well then I'm not going to do that deal, but I don't think that's the world that we should be living in either.
Yeah, I'm loving this conversation, by the way. This is a lot of fun. So next question, are we at an inflection point where the baton is finally being handed off from Brady and Rodgers to Allen and Mahomes?
No question. There's no question about it. And I know that it wasn't long ago that those guys were, 1-2 in the MVP voting last year, right? And Rodgers has been the NFL MVP the last 2 years.
Which he told us this week on the Pat McAfee show. Still the reigning two-time MVP.
Right. Did you see somebody put a side-by-side of Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers quotes coming out of their both quarterbacks lost on Sunday.
Annie Agar did a bit on it.
I didn't watch her video this week. I still have to do that. But it was, Josh Allen said it's hard to win when your quarterback plays like
blink.
And then Aaron Rodgers said, yeah, I played like beep, but at least I didn't give up or something buddy, come on, dude. Can you get out of your own way?
Annie Agar, hold that thought. Annie Agar, obviously she does the NFL shirt, asks the question. So she says, hey, Buffalo, what happened? And she, she's got the Bills shirt on, and Josh Allen says, it's hard to win when your quarterback plays like bleep, right? And then it cuts immediately to the Packers jersey, who's supposed to be Aaron Rodgers. It's hard to win when the rest of your team plays like bleep.
can't do it, man. Can't do it. But here's the thing. I will say this about Brady and Rodgers. Mm-hmm. the crap around them is not good either, right?
Well, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I mean,
sure, there's like the entire interior offensive line.
You know,
their coaching situation got turned upside down. And then, of course, with the Packers, I mean, just nothing on the offensive line or at wide receiver. And right. I think they've done a bad job of adjusting their style of play to meet what they do well. So as much as those guys aren't what we've seen in the past, I think there's something to be said for what's around them contributing to it. I think they could both play. I think they're both worthy starters in the NFL, but I don't think when we talk about the elite quarterbacks in the NFL right now, I don't think you're talking about Brady and Rodgers.
Love it. Which team, in your opinion, right now, if the season ended today, represents the NFC in the Super Bowl?
How do you not say the Eagles?
There it is.
You know, I mean, I think you could say something about the quality of their wins, but dude, like, I retired a long time ago from trying to diminish the accomplishments of football teams. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't sit here and recognize the competition and talent that exists in the NFL and how legitimately hard it is to win football games. Like, that's not something that's said because it's not true. You hear it all the time because it is true.
Right.
And so they're talented. They're winning. They have a young quarterback that's playing well. They're good in the trenches. Mm. Hello, football still won in the O-line and D-line, and they've got that in waves.
Yep.
I'm in, and, like, what's the resistance? Minnesota? Minnesota wins by 3 every week. You know, like, I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but I don't think they're a powerhouse. They're certainly probably going to win that division and make things tough in the playoffs, but I think Philly beat them 24-7 in week 2, right? Like, we've seen the game. They're better.
Yep.
So, I'm in on Philly.
It was amazing to me, and we had a side group chat just where I kind of had said about that when we got to see the Eagles on primetime. It was surprising to me watching that offense play how much it looked like the Bills offense. They were moving right the pocket, getting him outside, out of structure, and then the route concepts. He's throwing to receivers down the field that are wide open. I'm like, this looks like Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills light. Not exactly the same offense, but there was just concepts that I saw and kind of like mirror flashes. I was like, I've seen this before.
Offensive line's good, man.
Yeah.
Really good.
Super, super good. Which team on the Bills' remaining schedule has you the most concerned?
Man, that's a great question. I guess let me kind of just talk this through. I think the teams that have me concerned right now are the ones that have a run game, have a quick passing game, mm-hmm. and can take away the football on defense. Who fits that description?
Miami.
Yeah, Miami doesn't. Yeah, I guess so. I don't think they can run the ball well.
Fair.
So that's kind of an issue there. But I mean, they have one of those offenses that hasn't been figured out yet, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And unbelievable speed, obviously, in Waddle and Hill, and then a quarterback in Tua that is very quick with his ball handling. He's a very good ball handler. And his ability to kind of just get set and throw with so much speed, like his mechanics and his ability to get the football out of his hands quickly on top of receivers that can get to their spots unbelievably quickly. Forces you to play the game at a rate defensively that is hard, right? A lot of times on defense, especially on the second level, you're taught to kind of play slow till slow play. Get to your spots. Well, the Dolphins force you to kind of play a different style of game. Right. And until there's a blueprint out there, it's going to be tough to beat. So that concerns me. I think defensively, they're banged up and struggling. So that kind of takes away something there. Man, I'm concerned about them all.
That's fair.
Anyone who's ever, I've been doing this podcast since 2019, we respect every opponent. We know there's a script for every opponent. And I mean, just everyone's watched the NFL. Like the Bills lost to the Jaguars. I mean, some people think the Jets loss last week was worse than the Jaguars. Like, I mean, stuff happens, dude. Like, you know, I don't know. I there's a level of concern that I have about Minnesota and I mean, Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson and a defense that does take away the football. So I'm not sure that there's one that stands out, but I don't know that there's I don't think there's a lot of cake in front of them either, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. It's a sidebar. Before the Jeff Saturday, what in the world is going on? It was the the Mike McDaniel, what in the world is going on? How do you hire that guy as your head coach? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying that he's going to be successful, but man, coming off of this last game against the Bears and just that whole interaction with Justin Fields where I told him to stop it, like stop yeah. running on us. And like, you see him say it to Justin Fields, stop doing that. Yeah. And then in his press conference, he's like, he didn't stop. He didn't yeah. take the coaching at all. I was just like, am I going to like this guy? Is that what, yeah. what it's coming to? Am I going to like this guy?
Man, that I think that's, excuse me. Like when you go back and remember the journey of the Dolphins hiring Mike McDaniel, you knew he was a different kind of guy, right? That sure. wasn't hard to sure. figure out right away. But I think where I gained a lot of confidence in him being a good hire for Miami was what people that had been around him said about him.
Right.
So in spite of being let's be honest, just a quirky guy that's very different.
Yes.
Prominent people that have been with him have glowing things to say. Mm-hmm. And when he got to Miami, you know, and I'll be completely honest with you. I had the chance to talk to Teron Armstead, their left tackle. I spent some time with him at O-Line Masterminds, and we had a conversation about the outlook for the season, and we talked about Coach McDaniel. And one thing that Teron said to me was, you know, he's comfortable with who he is.
Right.
Right. And so, like, I think that regardless of what you are, if you're comfortable in your own skin, that's going to resonate, right? Yeah. There's not a prototype. Like, you have to be this, like, rah, rah, like hardo to be an NFL head coach, right?
Right,
you just have to be accountable and respected and really just give your players the best chance to win. And I think there's a number of different ways to do that. And I think that he's authentic, and I think players really believe in that. And I started to sense that when I talked to Teron back in July.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want to be in a situation where I really like the head coach of as Bills fans.
You can do it. It's just competition, man. You know what I mean? Like, I apologize for what I might say right now, but uh-oh. I think we get a little bit too hung up in like rivalries and like hating the competition. Like, can we first of all acknowledge that nothing that the Buffalo Bills ever do is something that we've accomplished as human beings?
Right,
okay.
Right.
Like I have not played a game in the NFL. I have not affected the result of a single Buffalo Bills football game,
good or
bad. And so therefore gloating or not gloating in the accomplishments of the team is just not something I could personally get behind. I love the competition, right? Like, and I know that there's a part of everyone that doesn't want to see the Dolphins and the Jets and the Patriots do well. And I get that. Right. But at the end of the day, this is about building teams that are positioned to win football games and obviously go and compete for championships. And if you don't love the competition and all of that, then man, like the NFL, you're not enjoying the NFL to the ways that you can. I don't want Patrick Mahomes to succeed like because of the Bills, but damn it, I love watching him play and I love studying the Chiefs. You know what I mean? So like, enjoy it. Right. Enjoy it. It doesn't I hate this team or I hate this player because they're on that team.
All right. Keep in mind, I come from the Brian Cox days, right?
So you know what? My dad talked a lot about Brian Cox, but does that stuff happen?
Right.
A cat has emerged here. This is phenomenal. I had no idea you even had a cat. That ever happened on a recording for
never.
You? Like
never.
That's a shame. That's a beautiful cat.
The cat's name is Kitty. Yes. So
wow. Do you have a dog named Doggy? What's going on?
I do
what's
not
going on with that? It's like have you, who's that guy? He's a Christian comedian. I cannot remember his name, where he was talking about like Adam and Eve naming the animals. And so, you know, the first few that come through, hippopotamus or rhinoceros, giraffe, and then you know he's getting to the end of the tank where it's like grasshopper, fly, anteater, you know, he's running out of names. Is that what happened here with the naming of Kitty?
It did with my oldest daughter. Yes. So yeah, So the other cat we have is Jojo, which was named after me because I'm Joe the third. And I was, you know, my whole life I was wanting to have a boy, Joe the fourth. Right. And I got, God bless me, with two wonderful girls. So we got an orange cat and named it Jojo. So that's Joe the fourth.
So you have an orange, that looked like a cat. Was that a calico cat?
That one is a calico. Named Kitty.
And you have some unique looking cats.
Yeah, it's tiger stripe orange cat. Yeah, but anyways, we are We are off script. So yeah, but that's what this show is about. So yeah, we got two questions left. You've been a wonderful sport and I appreciate it. How big of an opportunity does Isaiah Hodgins have in New York with the Giants? And do you see him taking advantage, full advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, I think he does. I think there's a much more clear, I don't know if clear is a word. There's a much more clear path for it happening for him with the Giants. You love the familiarity for Isaiah going into a situation where he knows the head coach. He knows a lot of the coaches there, Shea Tierney, Bobby Johnson, and they need him, right? They need that production. Their wide receiver core is underwhelming. They don't have a receiver like him that has the size and ball skills and catch radius that he can offer, the inside outside versatility. And so I think it's a good opportunity for him to be able to step in. You can imagine how that's a tough thing to do, right? To be plucked off of another team and then go to a situation where you're on a roster and they're 8 games into the season and what that's like. I think Isaiah is at an advantage because there should be a lot of familiarity, and there probably are going to be times where players that have been there since the beginning with Daboll can look to Isaiah for, to kind of how to navigate, whether it's a concept or a Daboll's personality, something along those lines. So I think it's a great spot for him. Obviously rooting for him, and it's good for Isaiah. And I just don't know that it was going to happen for the Bills, just given the depth that the Bills have a receiver.
Yeah. I talked to him on Sunday, obviously, people saw the tweet, out on social media or on Instagram, wherever, just different places that it went. And I asked him, I was like, so talk about the best of best situations you could possibly go to. Your perseverance, your patience, your good heart, your maturity is paid off by because obviously he wants to play, right? You got to think he's not a good player unless in his mind, and this isn't him saying this to me, this is me putting words in his mind, in his mouth. You got to think in his mind, I'm better than, right? Than Khalil Shakir. I'm better than Touchdown Jesus. I'm better than these guys. Why am I not playing? So you've got to think that the competitor in him wants that. So I just said to him, I was like, talk about an amazing situation. Do you have the playbook yet? And he goes, I do have the playbook. He goes, believe it or not, it's our offense, obviously, but it's like the vanilla version. And I was like, well, that makes sense because they're in the first year of it. I got to think that this offense is what our offense probably was year one. And he's like, that's true. I was like, Isaiah, the opportunity that you have in front of you to, as you just said, to become a mentor to some of these guys, to take advantage of the injuries that are in that group, the guys that are underperforming, like the fact that he can win 15 to 20 yards. And that's where Daniel Jones lives, to me, just the, so I'm thinking about doing a segment on Wednesdays on Wake Up Wednesday called Hodgins Watch, where I just go back through, because I love the guy. I appreciate him. I'm proud of him and I'm excited for him. That's just a personal thing. So super excited. We'll see what happens. Last question for you. Not a football question. As you know, and as everybody else knows, we just talked about it, I have two girls and I celebrate girl dads. And generally that celebration is hashtag girl dad is the best dad. I put it on people's posts and stuff like that. For you, Joe, because girls make big, rough, dominant dudes like us teddy bears. So for you, what is the best thing, last question, about being a girl dad for you?
Yeah, I think my daughter, she's not very old. She turns 3 in January. I have never had another person that inspires me to be the best version of myself. I like the way that she challenges me to be my best. And I love that about her. She doesn't know that, but whenever I, get done working for the day, or, I go in and I make time for her, which is, not something that I ever cheat. Being able to like stretch myself and I start my day start early, Joe. I start working at 5 a.m. and I try to be done around 3-4 o'clock, and then focus on her, and I'm tired, man. I'm tired at the end of that, but for me to kind of find it, right? Because she deserves it. She don't care that I've been working.
Right.
She's ready to play and do puzzles and play hide and seek and go to the park and all those types of things. And it's before I had her, it would be easy to just I'm just gonna chill out for the rest of the day. But no, now it's like, all right, I've got motivation. I can dig deep. I can find that energy. I can give myself, I can stretch myself more. So the way that she challenges me in so many different ways is incredible. And I think that's I don't even remember what the question was, but that's the best thing about being
you're answering it perfect.
Yeah, that's the best thing about being a girl dad is how she challenges me to be the best version of myself every day.
That's awesome. Since the day McKenna was born and Addison just doubled down on the whole thing for me, I have not been able to be at a wedding and watch a daddy-daughter dance. When the daddy-daughter dance happens, I have to leave because I don't cry, but that moment, even thinking about it now, triggers just... It's like someday I got to give this girl away. I got to give both these girls away to some other dude. It's like, no, they're mine. They belong to me.
You know what? And that's not the first time you've shared that with me. So right. I've had the time to think about it, but I think for me, and maybe this is like a big shift from, I don't know, like growing up your whole life, you think about having kids one day and you think, okay, if I have a daughter, it's going to be like, I'm going to be his hard dad, right? Like no one's dating my daughter. You know what I mean? You know what the reality has become for me? And I don't know if you're ready to say this out loud, but, and I recognize how challenging all of that's going to be. And I don't, and in some ways I don't look forward to any of it, but I really find myself in a position where I want nothing more for my daughter than for her to find an amazing husband, right? That's going to love her.
Yeah.
Or try to love her as much as I do. You know what I mean? And so like, because I can genuinely say that I want that for her.
Yeah.
I find myself in a different mindset than I thought I would be kind of growing up and thinking about having a daughter one day. Yeah. So,
well, I think we can probably both land on the beginning part of that, that if she doesn't find a man that loves her the way that she deserves to be loved and treats her the way that she deserves to be treated, I'm going to kill him. So did I say that out loud? My bad.
No, I'm with you, brother. So yeah, there is that piece of me, but as I cling into the best possible path forward and wanting that for her, I hope that it does happen. And so I'm hoping that when that day comes that I'm having the daddy daughter dance with her at her wedding, it comes with genuine happiness that this is a great man, you know?
Yes. Awesome.
And hopefully I can give her that example, right? Like that's part of what I talk about when I mean being the best version of myself is showing her what I hope the standard is for a man in her life that she's going to give her love to, right? Being worthy of the way that she looks at me and adores me. Like I want to be worthy of that. Right.
Yeah, amazing.
And so, that's all of that's running through my head. My guy, look at you ended on this note, dude. Like, geez,
10 questions. And that was the best answer. 10 questions. Joe Marino. So thank you so much for being my first victim ever of Rapid Fire Friday. Any thoughts for me? Can I tweak it? How can I make this better? Like, was it good for you? It was good for me.
I enjoyed it. I had no idea what I was getting into. And I like that about it. So I think keep it that way. Get good guests and challenge them like you did me. You know what I mean? Like we got into a lot of stuff. Yep. We went from the Colts to being a you know, girl dads to Bill stuff. I mean, we covered a lot of ground. And so just keep doing you, man, and find great guests and have fun.
Appreciate it. Well, let everybody know, not that they don't know already, where they can find you and all of your content.
You can find me on Twitter @TheJoeMarino. If you have any complaints, just go ahead and send them to @JoeMillerWired. That's going to be
fair.
The best possible place to express your concerns. The daily podcast, Locked On Bills, draftnetwork.com is where you can find all my written work. And then, of course, the book Go Bills is available at buffalobillsbook.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Sports Network. I'm your host, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter @JoeMillerWired. Joe Marino. What a great time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Give me a go, Bills.
Go, Bills.
Go, Bills.
It's time for Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Sports Network with your host, Joe Miller.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.